In today's fast-paced world, your business deserves banking solutions that are as dynamic and cost-effective as you are. Solutions like free business checking from LGE Community Credit Union, free online and mobile banking, no minimum balance required, plus no maintenance fees and dividends on your balance. At LGE, we're a smarter way to bank. See what's possible for your business at lgeccu.org. No monthly maintenance fees. Other service fees such as NSF, overdraft, wire, and stop payment fees still apply. Not all businesses will qualify. Membership eligibility and base savings account that keeps a $5 minimum balance required.
Buck Blue here with some great news. Nobody knows the real estate market up 400 and around Lake Lanier than my friend Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams. You see, experience matters. If you've got an interest in Lake Lanier property or up 400 properties, go to GetMickey.com, click and talk with an expert right now. Or call 678-341-7474. Mickey Himes is the man in the Lake Lanier real estate market. This is Buck Blue. You can trust this dog and the entire GetMickey.com team.
An ambassador for the dogs and broadcasting live from Truist Park every day.
All day, every day.
It's time for Buck's Beat with Buck Ballou.
Welcome back to Buck's Beat podcast, and is sponsored by Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams. This is episode 22, talking about the Atlanta Braves today and the impact of all-star second baseman Ozzie Albies. Our guest joining me coming up in a few moments, a former Braves second baseman, Jeff Treadway. Jeff and I were teammates playing baseball at the University of Georgia, so looking forward to sharing that conversation with Jeff coming up here in just a moment. If you're looking for a Lake Lanier property or a home up 400, call Mickey Himes right now at 678-341-7474. Or go to GetMickey.com, click, and speak with a Lake Lanier expert. Passion and experience matter in real estate. How do I know so much about Mickey Himes? He's a friend that I admire and respect, and that was long before he committed to sponsor this podcast. Talking Braves today, we are now past the halfway point to the season, and the trade deadline now looms at the end of this month. What should the Braves and Anthopoulos do is the big question. This team needs help in the bullpen and in the outfield. Are the Braves going to be buyers or sellers? The answer to that question hangs in the balance at this very moment as we record the podcast. I just can't get over the fact that this Braves team has not had a winning record the entire season so far. Actually, I'm somewhat shocked by this, and I bet you are too. But I also know that this marathon of a Major League Baseball season can change dramatically in the second half. The Braves could flip the script, hit their stride, and make a second half run like they've done before with just a couple of strategic moves. We've seen it before. We'll see it again. Maybe this year is one of those years. I do know this. Our Atlanta Braves team would be in big-time trouble without all-star second baseman Ozzie Albies delivering a huge first half of the season. Ozzie was named to the National League All-Star team over the weekend, and he should have been. Ozzie's been nothing short of awesome this season. In fact, Albies right now would get my vote for the Braves' most valuable player if they took that at the halfway mark. I must admit, right now, Ozzie Albies is my favorite Braves player, and here's why. Since the Ozuna episode, when Ozzie got plugged in into that three spot in the lineup, Albies has elevated his game to an all-star level. He's crushing it from both sides of the plate. He's flashing gold glove caliber defense out at second. And I totally believe Ozzie Albies provides this Braves team with a really positive vibe day in and day out. And that's totally underappreciated, undervalued. But it's a big deal in my book. Ozzie Albies brings a positive energy to work every single day. The guy works hard, and he has fun doing it. One more big thing about Albies, and I like this very much. Ozzie is constantly in Ronald Acuna Jr.'s ear, and I like that. Ozzie is that friend that keeps it real. You know, you've probably got a friend like that, right? Not hesitant about telling you like they see it. And that's what he's doing with Acuna. Ronald respects Ozzie's opinion. Ozzie can keep Acuna's growing ego, the drip. He can keep that confidence in check when it needs to be. And that's huge, I totally believe. Ozzie Albies is not only an all-star, he's also trending towards becoming the top second baseman in baseball. Seriously. Right now, Altuve carries that title out in Houston, but Albies is trending up, brother. Look at some of the other young second basemen out there. I'd take Ozzie over Biggio. I'd take him over Lowe down in Tampa. LeMahieu is a year older, but give me Ozzie Albies. In the preseason, Ozzie was rated number 72 in the top 100 players compiled by the Major League Baseball Network. And you know what? I believe he's better than that. He's better than 72. Since Snitker plugged him in behind Freddie Freeman at number 3 in the lineup, Ozzie has played roughly around 35 games. And in those 35 games, Ozzie's hitting 300+. He's got 6 bombs, 10 doubles, 34 RBI. He's raking. And his weaker side, hitting left-handed against the right-handed pitching, you know what? It's not so weak this year. Ozzie hitting 242, 9 home runs, 40 RBI, raking, hitting from that left-handed side. And we don't talk about it enough, the defense that Albies is bringing to the table. He has just 2 errors. And now he's morphed into a legitimate number 3 hitter in this Braves lineup. And more good news is that he's only 24 years old, his 5th year in the league. And the Braves have him locked down to a long-term, less-than-market-value contract. Nonetheless, count me as a big Ozzie Albies fan. Love the player. Love the athleticism, the world-class skill set, and totally appreciate the positive vibe thing and the in Acuna's ear thing, which I think is going to benefit Ronald in the years to come.
Bucks Beat.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
And I appreciate our guest today, too. Former Braves second baseman Jeff Treadway joins us. Jeff, what do you appreciate about the Braves second baseman Ozzie Albies? I am totally sold on this guy, enjoy watching him play. What about you?
Well, Buck, first of all, good to hear you and talk to you again. It's been a little while, bringing back a lot of good memories hearing your voice. But Ozzie, I think really mainly is he's a great player, obviously. He's got, you know, great second baseman, a lot of power, speed, really just everything. But I like how he plays the game, and I like it. I think his confidence level is what's so significant about him. How, you know, no situation's too big for him. You never see him. He never really struggles, especially mentally. He never really struggles mentally. He's just a strong guy mentally, and it shows. And the mental part of the game, the mental part of the game affects everybody, but just doesn't seem to affect him like it does some other players.
And he's such a young guy, Jeff. He's in his 5th year. He's 24 now.
Mm-hmm.
In his 5th year. So what should the fans expect? Is it the best yet to come? Where is he in this process? You've been down this road before. 5 years in. Aren't you really comfortable with the people you're facing, how they're trying to get you out and things like that?
Yeah, he's been through it all, I think, so far. He's played in big games and been involved with a lot of stuff. I think when I remember talking to somebody, maybe the first or second ball game he played and how confident he was even then as a 20-year-old, I guess he was. And I didn't get to the big leagues until I was 26 years old. So, you know, I was nervous. I mean, it was tough. I was nervous like a cat. And so to see how confident he is, I think is probably the biggest thing. And the other part is he's not as physical as he's going to be. I don't think so. I think your late 20s is when you're in your prime physically in baseball, as far as baseball strength. And, you know, your late 20s and early 30s is when you really become your best physically, and all the rest of it's there. So I think the best is yet to come. He's a tremendous player, and he's going to even get better.
Jeff, what about the marathon of this Major League season, 162? A lot of talk about the Braves not having a winning record the entire first half of the season thus far as we wind down heading to the All-Star break. How do you break it down, having been through a lot of these 162s? We've seen the Braves flip the switch in the second half during the great run, 14-year run into the postseason a few years ago that you were a part of those days where – they tracked down the Giants one year. I believe at the All-Star game, we were down like 10 games or something like that. So what about right now? A lot of fans wondering, look, are we buyers or sellers approaching this trade deadline? I mean, you make a couple of adjustments here, and the next thing you know, you get on a second-half run, and you're where you want to be. So talk about that for a moment.
Well, survival of the fittest, you know, the second half is tough. Especially, August is rough, but September is even harder. I mean, as far as the heat and just how tough it gets to play that many games. And I think that under Snitker's reign, I think you can look at those seasons where they may have been in first place at the All-Star break, but they really separated themselves during the second half of the season. And I think Atlanta's going to have a great opportunity to catch and go ahead of, you know, teams in front of them, because I don't know. You know, Snit has just always been good at that, and this team has always been good at that. And so I think there's great, great things to come.
Jeff, I wanted to talk about the good old days. I think we all enjoy doing that. So we're teammates at the University of Georgia.
Right.
And as I recall, a lot of the days you're hitting second, I'm hitting third in the lineup, so we're next to each other, and it just seemed like my memory tells me it seems like you were on base all the time. I mean, you got me a lot of good fastballs to hit, as I remember. And, Jeff, I admired your swing, your plate discipline, your ability to square up the ball consistently, and above all, you're a great teammate, man, a great guy to be around. You seem to really love the game, which I appreciated. What were your memories of playing baseball at Georgia back in 82?
Well, I loved it. That's for sure. It was a tremendous opportunity, as you know. You know, you played football there, and baseball. You complimented on hitting behind me. You know, I've always said that the number two hole is the best place to hit. I don't care which level, because you got that good hit, number three hitter behind you. Usually got some speed in front of you, and so it was likewise is what I'm trying to say. Having you behind me in college, the great hitter that you were, power hitter, and made my job a lot easier too. But yeah, I mean, I love playing baseball at the University of Georgia, and it was during those lean years, so I think you and I can kind of take pride in maybe what we began and what developed from then to the time we left. So those were good times for sure.
Yeah, look, I looked up the stats in 82. You hit 368 that season. Somehow, I think the numbers, they were skewed or whatever. Mine said 447. Must have been that strong finish that year. But we had some – we scored some runs, man. I mean, Fuentes was a really good player. Worth was tremendous. Jackson, Davis, that lineup, as I recall, did a lot of damage.
Yeah, and I think the story of our season was in – really, the first two seasons is we really only had that Friday night starter. We didn't have – I don't think we had that Saturday or Sunday guy. We had to piece things together. I mean, Hugh Kent was there, really our best pitcher. He was a tremendous SEC pitcher, but I just didn't think we had the depth pitching-wise. And, yes, we did. We scored a run. Mike Worth was a tremendous hitter at first base. And John Bosco, David Jackson, great players there at the University of Georgia. pretty good club. We just didn't have it all.
And a career, Treadway, man, you 381 now. That's fourth all time at the University of Georgia. Career batting average of 381. Just tremendous career you put together there. What about?
I didn't realize that till about 2 years ago. I was called over there to receive that Tom Cousins Award in Athens, and as they were announcing, you know, the statistics and stuff there, they mentioned that, and I didn't know it. Had no idea. So I'm very proud of that.
All right, so you played in the show, Reds, Braves, Dodgers, Indians, just to name a few of the teams. Can you describe to the listener what it was like hitting major league pitching day in and day out?
Well, I've talked about this a little bit about how, you know, everybody talk about 100 mile an hour fastball, 98 mile an hour fastball, which we saw back then. We would see that maybe three times a week, and the kids today are seeing it every day. And I guess you adjust. I don't know what it means, but it was a different. When you saw Rob Dibble, for example. Throwing 100, 101 miles an hour. Mark Wohlers was throwing that hard. But you see those guys late in the game, and it's different. Randy Johnson. I mean, it's different than 92, 93. I mean, you're kind of starting. I mean, you actually kind of start your swing as the ball's released and then kind of make a decision from there. So, I mean, I think the smartest hitters, and I think there's a lot of this today, the smartest, the best hitters would let that 98 mile an hour fastball be the power, you know, not try to catch up to it with power, just catch up to it with quickness, making contact. And I Howard Johnson caught me at third base, and I had just hit a double off the right center field wall, and he said, asked me, because I was a little guy, he said, "You that strong?" And I said, "Well, Dwight Gooden was pitching at 97, 98 and I said, "No, but I said, "Goodness, you know." So, and that's kind of the philosophy I had. If I liked having a good hard fastball because it gave me some power. I just tried to be quick.
Were the best years? Were those the years you were with the Braves playing close to home?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we had a, and again, I take a lot of pride in going from worst to first. I'm from Griffin, Georgia, and played my high school sports there, and played at the University of Georgia, and. You know, I got there in 89. We probably lost, I think we lost 100 games. 90, we lost close to 100 games. And then all of a sudden, got a couple of good players in, Sid Bream and Terry Pendleton, Lee Brandt, good pitchers. And everything just kind of clicked all of a sudden, right at that All-Star break, really, that you mentioned earlier when we, you know, the Dodgers were in first and we caught them at the end of the year. So, absolutely, without a doubt, the most fantastic time. And I was living in Griffin. My son had just been born when I got traded there. And so God was good. God was good and is good.
Jeff, we're going to hit the big three now. I'm going to throw three questions out at you.
Let's roll out the big three.
Number one today on the big three was how did you develop that smooth swing that you had? When did it click for you? Was there something during the youth league days that clicked? How'd you develop that smooth swing?
I had no power. I was a little guy, but one thing that a guy named Ted Krasuski, do you remember that name?
Oh yeah,
big guy with the Reds,
short
and I was
sleeves.
With the Reds, shorts, no sleeves at all. And but he's developed a little drill back in those days where you hit through the ball, you know, kind of like a golf swing. If you don't have anything left at the angle when you make contact, you got a little bit left. You're not already rolled your wrist over and that sort of thing. And he developed a little drill, and it was just kind of a ball out in front of the ball where you. And it took me forever to master the drill, but that created really helped me start developing a little bit of power and realizing the things that you needed to do to create power. So, I mean, if I had to mention one thing, I think that's what popped in my head.
All right, number two, when did this manager thing happen for you? Was this a dream of yours? I wasn't aware that this was something that you wanted to do down the road when your playing days were over.
Well, I did, and I'm working at a high school coaching sports now and just love it. And if you think about it, as old guys, you know, out of professional sports, there's, I think it's kind of important to figure out what to do next, you know. And so I ended up managing in the minor leagues, and it didn't end up being a great thing. I was offered a job in Richmond. And really, family-wise, I was not at a place where I could just do that. And so ended up giving it up and ended up here at Stratford Academy down in Macon, you know, coaching softball, baseball, still doing it. Been doing it 20 years. And, you know, although I got out of the professional part of it, I'm really lucky to get to do what I'm doing right now, working with a lot of great people, like a lot of great kids, and having a lot of fun with it. And like I said, it keeps me busy, keeps me out of trouble.
Yeah, and isn't it great passing along the knowledge that you picked up along the way?
Right. And when it really more – these kids are great players. I've had a few players go into professional baseball. And my best pitcher from 5 years ago, Mary Wilson Avant, is just finished at Georgia. I don't know if you've kept up with softball, but she pitched for me here at Stratford. And just to see that happen is really cool. But, you know, I think more importantly is the discipline things, the things that you teach them that are kind of important to – what things they're going to need when they get to the workplace, and just family stuff and things like that are really cool to see those effects on kids.
All right, Jeff, number three, I'm seeing a lot of travel baseball at 14 and 15 years old, got two sons making their way to the high school level. What's your advice to the high school age baseball player? What is it should they be focused on right now? I know a lot of these kids are worried about, you know, playing in college and how that's going to develop and all about that. But what about the high school player? What should they be focused on right now, trying to improve?
You know, I when we talk about travel and travel baseball and the extent of it and how much they do, I've always felt like, I think if you're going to play at the next level, you almost have to be that involved, unless you're just a really raw talent. But I think that it's so important for every athlete, regardless of what sport it is, to play another sport. I just think that the transition, the different body movements, the strengths that you gain from doing a different sport are crucial. I mean, I'm saying don't play just baseball or don't just play football. I think another sport is just in creating a better all-around athlete is very important.
Jeff, want to end this by congratulating you on the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame induction. What a class that was that you were inducted with. Can you touch on that for a moment?
Well, I mean, I was hoping for it for about 10 years, and it was just tremendous when it really happened. Willie Anderson and I were in there at the same time, and just meeting him and another Georgia guy, what a fine guy he is, and tremendous honor, you know, from a guy from Griffin, Georgia, who played at Middle Georgia and played at Georgia.
You're in there with Henry Aaron, man.
I know. And you're in there with Herschel Walker, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. It's humbling.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And, you know, there's a lot of – well, people need to come down and see that program just to realize what great people and what great athletes are and people have come from Georgia. So – and played their sports in Georgia. So tremendous honor, as you know, and it's an honor to be in there with you, buddy.
Jeff, thanks for your time today, man. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Buck. Good to talk to you.
Bucks Beat.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Yeah, just love playing with Treadway at Georgia. That was a really good hitting team we had back then. All right, the trade deadline looms July 30th. Alex Anthopoulos and his staff, I'm sure they're busy interacting with teams like the Diamondbacks, the Orioles, the Rockies, the Rangers, and now it looks like the Cubs are in a free fall. Dealing with the sellers, trying to improve this Braves team. Double A admitted a few weeks ago that he's got a little money to spend, and he's got a couple of spots that need a big boost, and that being the bullpen and the outfield. Now, reports, rumors are flying around from one I saw earlier today that jumped off the page, and that is the Braves were pursuing or interested in acquiring New York Yankee outfielder Aaron Judge. How about that? Does that knock your socks off? And then you hear a lot of these rumors and reports about some under-the-radar players like outfielder Brian Reynolds with the Pirates. So what would it take to get a guy like Aaron Judge in a Braves uniform? Well, it would take at least three top prospects coming out of the Braves organization. And I just pulled some names out here. Kyle Muller, big left-handed starter, looks really good here with a couple of starts of the season. I'm sure that would be a guy the Yankees would be interested in. What about Christian Pache? Throw in another prospect, Bryce Elder. Might take a little bit more to get Judge in here. But it would be something, a package along those lines. Now, how would you get a guy like a Brian Reynolds in, who I just mentioned? Well, it might take an outfielder like Pache or Waters. Maybe the Pirates would want a catcher in return. Braves suddenly have two or three catchers at the minor league level. We've seen Contreras here. Langeliers is another one. I do believe he's sort of hands off in this Braves organization. But I do expect AA to be buyers here at the trade deadline. I look for the Braves to add affordable, controllable bullpen help and an outfielder to try to solidify this team in the second half and make a run at the Mets and the division title. Finally, the All-Star game is approaching. Heads up, the Futures game, one that I've always enjoyed watching, seeing the young prospects on the big stage. Two Braves outfield prospects will be on display. You got Drew Waters and Michael Harris II will both play in the game. Futures game July 11th at 3 o'clock. That's going to do it for episode 22 of Bucks Beat. We want to thank you for listening. Thank you to Mickey Himes for sponsoring this fine podcast. And remember, always remember to like and subscribe.
Subscribe to Bucks Beat and get the latest updates every week from the most connected guys in Georgia sports. Follow Buck at BuckBaloo8 on Twitter and check out all the fan podcasts at thepodcastpark.com.
A lifetime of hard work, children laughing in the kitchen, family photos on a restaurant wall, a legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.